Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Des Moines. I can't see you, but I trust you're there and the streaming is going well. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he introduced several new concepts to people and just an excellent educator. So the disciples picked these things up and they had, you know, a little bit more difficult times with some concepts than others, just as we do. And we learn them too. Last week, Mr. Antion was talking about just a simple concept, Jesus. You know, where we shied away from that as a church for a while because a lot of churches talked about, you know, Jesus this, Jesus that. And it's an important concept, too, really, in this regard, because Jesus Christ, Jesus, of course, the name, Jesus means Yahweh saves, God saves, or even Emmanuel, God is with us. And then Christ, of course, is his title, the chosen one. And those are the two concepts that we have when Christ was here with us on earth. He had to be a man. And he had to be the perfect sacrifice, but he was fully God with that authority. So the concepts that we have, like we just took part in the Passover. That was a new concept as Christ reintroduced that and set a profound meaning for us spiritually in that regard. The Days of Unleavened Bread. And all throughout the year, we have these holy days, and they take place in a specific order in the plan of God. This is a similar process would be the process of baptism. If you write down in your notes Acts 2, verse 38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those are in order. Those things are in order. And so today what I want to talk about is another concept that Christ introduced to everybody and us, and that is being born again, the concept of being born again. And this was another thing that I know that we shied away from because, you know, what does it mean to be a born-again Christian? Well, it's a very, very important concept to have and to be thinking about because well, let's go there, John 3, and we'll work our way through verse 6 through 8. In verse 6, Christ said, "The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." So we're talking about a birth process here. Physical flesh, you have a mother and a father, or, you know, you wouldn't be here. That's just how it works, right? So this is where this process of being born again begins. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have received from God? You are not your own." And this is where the process is. It begins, right? You are a physical human being, and you have the intellect and everything to pair with the Holy Spirit to begin a new spiritual creation, if God gives you that gift, if you follow that path. And so you begin a new spiritual creation within you, a new rebirth, which is simply what it means to be born again. Now, the Holy Spirit in us allows serious and real changes as a new creation begins in us. This is what you would call a behavioral modification because it's not the natural carnal thing to do some of these things. And we are changing in a very profound way. A really good scripture for this, Galatians 5, verse 22, excuse me. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I think I always thought that was a peculiar little thing to close that verse with. But there is no law against those things because that's the purpose of the law. Those should be the fruits of God's Spirit dwelling in us. That's the ultimate point of making that spiritual change away from carnality, but due to the Holy Spirit working within us. And this, I might add, it's a relationship, okay? It's a relationship that must be there. It can't be done without Christ as our advocator, our advocate, and that relationship. And he brings that Holy Spirit, that interactive, to help us along in that process. But it is definitely a relationship. And that's how we come to know Christ, and he comes to know us. He talks about that quite a bit. Let's go back to John 3 and verse 7. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and not being driven by this human nature. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old man is gone, and the new man is here. So it's not this situation where we have one foot on the dock still and one in the boat, and they're kind of spreading away from each other, if you know what I mean. It doesn't work. You have to make the decision, and we do that at baptism, to put to death the old man, and the new man begins its new life with the Spirit. Now, Paul explains specifically in Romans 8 the shift in the relationship with God and his law to actually enable a change with his Holy Spirit. And so Romans 8, and beginning in verse 2, Paul specifically starts parsing out, not this whole thing about the law, but specifically this. This is why we are doing this, and this is why it's important. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, which gives life and has set you free from the law of sin and death, that is the law, the spiritual law, with God's Holy Spirit, which can elicit change, a life change, and a new life. Verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, that is the physical law, merely outlining what sin is, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus' life was profoundly significant in this regard, in several ways. Not only was he the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, but he was the ultimate example in life. Also, his life and death served as a reminder of the seriousness of this process, the seriousness of sin, this whole need for grace and forgiveness and this relationship with God and that advocacy that he has set himself there for, and his Holy Spirit to effect help and change in our life. In verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. We're able to take it to the next level. We couldn't do it without God. We couldn't understand these things really without God. And we wouldn't even have the mental inclination to do that, but we do now. So not murdering somebody is no longer the issue. We have the issue within the heart. This is absolutely implies a close relationship with our advocate to understand these things and to check ourselves, because he's guiding us with his Spirit. And we understand that that is guiding us to not care to murder somebody, but to care to change our heart to love other people. And this gets back to the fruits of the Spirit. That's the point of the law, not just describing what you don't do, but the actual character in the mind of God, which he can start growing within us as this new creation. Also, we've talked in times past about the sanctity of marriage and not committing adultery. Not committing adultery physically within a marriage is really the easy part. But as soon as you start talking about spiritual adultery, just for example, in a marriage, that's also vital to have a good relationship, because the bonds of trust and a deeper relationship are going to benefit way better, way more than most relationships when you have that. And then spiritually, what about our relationship with God? He also describes an adulterous relationship towards him, putting things before him. So all those things are implied within that spiritual adultery that we have to come to understand and grow and have as a part of our growth process, our conversion process. Let's continue in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so there we are, wrapping up where we began in verse 2 in Romans 8. This concept of being born again, however misunderstood, whatever it sometimes may be, is very critical at this time of year, especially when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and bringing this to the church. You know, we're coming up on Pentecost. We're counting down a week. And but it's central to the process, our whole spiritual process, being born again. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple concept, really, where we have a new beginning of a new creation being born in us. The next verses, Romans 8, verse 7 through 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We want to please God. We really do. So the last scripture, I promise, John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is that birth process. We baptized, we make this commitment, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the birth process begins. We are becoming an absolute child of God. These are amazing things to think about as we count down this last week till Pentecost, and what it means for us as, you know, individually and as a church. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the Sabbath and wonderful fellowship after church here.